Okay, once again, what this gives us, and the name of it is knowing we have eternal life, and it's a litmus test. And for those who may not know what that means, the litmus test in science was something you would know. It was a piece of paper that you would put into certain chemicals to know if it was an acid or a base, and so on and so forth. And it would give you other things too of how high acid is in it and how much it's not. And we now have this book to do the same thing for us. What I hope you're recognizing is it doesn't tell you instructions on necessarily what to do. It gives you that litmus test on if you are. The Bible itself shows us how to do all that we're talking about here. And then if you want to know where exactly are you at, we then have this book which gives us that you have this. That's why we use the term evidence. And once again, the difference, the Old Testament was you had to live to be righteous, and all of us fell short. Even those who aren't born yet, he's saying they can try, but they're all going to fall short no matter what. However, what the New Testament does, he gives us everything that we need, like we're going over in the sermon now. And if we are doing it successfully, now this is the evidence that we are, right? You're going to see this if I am. If I'm not, the blessing of this is that I get to look at this and go, okay, Keith, there's an issue here. You got to make some adjustments. You got to make some changes. So what we started off with, we went to the end of it in 1 John 5:13, and that's why he says, "I write these things to you who believe." So he's talking about Christians in the name of Son of God. So make sure they're true Christians, so that you may know that you have eternal life. You got that? He's saying, "I'm writing these so you may know, so you can't go, well, I think I'm a Christian. Am I a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And I don't want to get somebody's word for it. I don't want you to come to me and say, am I a Christian?" You now have evidence. So we started off with the group of sin. And it shows if I'm, and it doesn't talk about have a sin here and there, but if it's something that defines me. That's why it says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. He makes that very clear. That's very easy for us to see. Okay. That's why he's saying a Christian not only will not continue in sin, and the translation of that means living in sin, and it's saying he cannot do it. And he said in verse 10 of that, where he says, this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. And there's only two choices. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. Once again, there's no middle. Man did that when he adds middle to certain things. So we understand that if I'm living in sin, if it's a characteristic that's an accepted part of my life, I am not a Christian. All right? That's what he's saying. All right. Doesn't mean because you have these other parts that you think are good, it's going to be you can't have anything that puts that out there of you accepting living in a life of sin. Now, people may have struggles. That's a whole different thing. Keep that in mind. All right. Then we got the different types of sin. And we see the two main ones out there. There's a sin we're supposed to pray for to get a person out of it so they won't die. And then we have the sin. The unpardonable sin, which we know a sin that there's nothing you could do about it. Then we touch base on the group of love. As incredible as love is, once again, evidence. It's kind of showing us the evidence we have to have. So anyone who claims to be the light but hates his brother. Now, hate isn't a feeling. When you hear people say crazy things like, I don't love him, but I don't hate him, that all that's meaningless. What you say, meaningless. It's what you do. Okay, and you see a lot of churches, first of all, if I'm a church that wants to separate, I already hate it, right? If I treat you any different than what the Bible, especially 1 Corinthians 13, says, then I don't love, I hate you. So you can't pat a group of people who call themselves Christians on the back and they pick groups of people to show some other form of whatever that the Bible doesn't say and say they're Christians. Immediately, and that's our protection also to go, oh, I don't want to be part of that group because they don't love. He made that very clear. And loving one another is huge, especially loving other Christians. That's why you can't have, and that's why I said we did the nationalists in that sense. You can't be a nationalist. The only nationalist we can be is Christians who are the nation in a sense. It'll be every other what the world may have, not it's not going to look worldly, fleshly, homogeneous is going to make sure it's a mixture of people that all serve God the same way. That's why he made clear, make sure we don't love with word or tongue, but in action and in truth. We also seen continuing in the love that we had to love as Jesus loved. And he gave a great example in the Gospels. And then, of course, the Bible is him explaining how to love. One of the worst things we've done is we've allowed ourselves to create our own love, and then we mix it with God's love, which is called corruption. That's why we tend to think we love. And you'll have some that I don't punish my children at all, think they're loving them. You get them and that'll abuse their children, think they're loving them. He gives us where discipline has to exist, but it has to be done carefully. You see how that works, right? If I don't do it that way, I'm doing it of the devil. This is evidence on what I really am, what you really are. So it's very necessary for us to recognize that. All right, so that's where we went up to that point. So now we're to something that when people incorrectly preach grace has ruined this. Because we thought when anytime you hear about obey, that was for Old Testament. Christians don't have to obey, is what people say, because Christ obeyed and he died for us so that we don't have to go through that burden of obeying. I heard a minister say that one time. And I'm kind of saying, well, how does he justify what the Bible says and where does he get this from? It's because he took grace and he wanted people to just to feel good by calling themselves Christian. Even though the warning of not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter the kingdom. We have to recognize when he gives us these warnings, then he gives us the evidence. We see in 1 John 2, 3-6, what he talks about, do what he commands. So 1 John 2, 3-6 says, we know, here's that evidence, that we have come to know him if. Now, do you see what he just did there? What he's not saying is, obey me to show me you're a Christian. It's not what he said. Okay? He's saying, if I stop and I check my life, and I'm saying I go to his word and I apply it, that's my life, I know. I have come to know him. Remember that knowing is a relationship. Because I'm taking everything. How do I love my children? Well, because the Bible says. How do I deal with work? Well, you know, the Bible says. Am I doing that with my finances? You know, the Bible says. Right? Just me even going to church and gaining, asking questions, growing in it. But when I do it on my own and then make up stuff like, well, the Holy Spirit did this for me and I got this automatically and I just grew in this. Is that evidence helping you? Are you obeying him? How can you obey him when you don't know what he says? We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. You get that? No, it's not talking about the Old Testament Ten Commandments. It's talking about the New Testament, Christ's commandments. Okay? The man who says, I know him, meaningless, but does not do what he commands is a liar. Once again, if you were now in a court of law and you said, I'm doing what he commands, and you're not, yes, you're a liar. Right? Are you calling me a liar? Absolutely. Because God is saying you're a liar. And it says, and the truth is not in him. Now, that's a warning to us as individuals, check ourselves, but it's also a warning to us with other people that call themselves Christians. Right? Immediately, when I see these Christians who call themselves Christians, I don't care what title they have, who they are, whatever, doing other ways, following other commands. And this is why we have to be careful also of man-made commands. We're more prone to, and that's why Jesus says you have a fine way of ignoring God's commands in order to follow these ways of men. He says, we are worshiping him in vain. And we still do it. We'll do stuff that man says is Christian and be dedicated to that and totally ignore and not know what God says is Christian. This is crucial, and we still don't have the reverence to go, man, I got to really watch this. He says the truth is not in him, but if anyone obeys his word, I don't know why I didn't highlight that, but you see that. If anyone obeys his word, not read his word, not recite his word, not knows his word, I have to do it. Just like with faith, to really show that I'm reading his word is because my life, you'll see me applying it all the time. And remember, as we're seeing in the sermon, I can't go, well, I'm trying, but I'm only human. And I can't. We like to get out of it in order to stay in our own mode, and then we mess up. Well, he's saying, no, you obey. Every decision you make, how you raise your children, how you are in your relationships, how you deal with disaster, how you deal with sickness, how you deal with other people, I'm going to watch you, and it's going to be right in line with what I said. And the stuff you don't know, I'm going to see you come back, and you're going to check with me. He says, if they obey my word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Right? And that's completing. That's what we are supposed to show. That's why Christians would look the same. The minute you tell me to do something, I'm going, I don't know where it's at. Right? You won't have to. I just heard somebody just recently, there was something in the Bible, and it was talking about divorce. And it had a lady who was now going to explain why, because he was trying to allow people to go ahead and get divorced. And she started giving this, well, you know, what they really meant in those days, it didn't really mean this, and it didn't mean divorce, and it meant something. And she was saying all this stuff that somebody would, who wanted to hear an answer, would just go, okay, that sounds good, instead of going, show me what it says, and stop giving me what your interpretation or disruption of it. And that's what we tend to do. We buy books to say what we want to hear, and we follow it. Now, what are we going to say to God when God says, where did I tell you to do that? Where did I tell you to do that? So obeying his word is necessary. So you're not just striving to obey his word. If you truly are walking in his ways, you will obey his word. And that's going to be the evidence for you and for others. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him, watch this, must walk as Jesus did. It still sticks with me when the minister got up there. I heard two of them actually say it two different times. We don't have to walk as Jesus because Jesus already walked as Jesus. And the crowd went crazy. Now, do you see how crowds go crazy when you say something that sounds correct? Instead of now I can go to God's word and see what really is correct. So you got a lot of people in their human brilliance saying something that sounds the part, misleading a lot of people. Yes, I must walk as Jesus did. Jesus became us and empowered us to be that. And remember, we have to walk as Jesus so when people see us, they see Jesus. Not see me as Jesus. No, they don't see me. I'm ministering him in my walk. So must walk as Jesus did. This is necessary. So in that command, our mindset is always, okay, what do I do next? What do I do next? There are a lot of jobs out there that if they make one mistake, it's done, right? There's this one electrician job, and they can make over $200,000 to $300,000. However, every day you can die. I mean, it's just that one wrong move, and you could die, all right? You have to do everything just right. You have to be on your P's and Q's. See, my job, I can have an off day, and then I can go back and just redo it. They can't have an off day. And a lot of them will do it for the money, but I'm using that as an example of if we treated God in reverence in that same way of I'm living for my life to represent him, he is my life, you would see this no problem. But reverence is just not there because in reality, we're living for our temporary. I want to be happy now. Things work out for me now. I want to go with what I like. He goes into it again, obeying him, 1 John 3:21-24. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us. Now remember, your heart is your purpose. So, and then this is another test and evidence. If my purpose is wrong, I'll feel bad about the wrong things. I'll be convicted about ungodly things. Okay, eventually we're going to do a lesson on sin. And one part that man likes to do is make up stuff that the Pharisees and religious leaders thought Jesus should have felt bad or convicted for sitting with sinners. But Jesus, doing exactly what his father said, no, that is our job to be around them because it's the sick that needs physicians, right? So when we now go out and do religious and self-righteous things, then our hearts are going to condemn us because our purpose is not God. Get this? Okay, now. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Catch that? So if I find me being convicted of ungodly things, there's a problem in my purpose. Think about that, right? I'll find things that people say I'm doing wrong, not God. I'll be convicted of things of the world because my purpose or my heart is pointing in the right wrong direction. But when I don't get convicted of what the Bible clearly says, same thing. My confidence is not in him. He says, we have confidence before God if our hearts do not condemn us, and we receive from him, watch this. Now, somebody asked last week about prayer. This is one of the prerequisites. You know, how do I get what I ask for? He says, and receive from him anything we ask. Now, if I stop there, we're like, oh, perfect. He's going to give me an answer. Here's the answer. Because we obey. And we're like, oh, right? We're like, come on, man. I just want to ask, and he gives it to me. But we, who God is our purpose, are striving. We live to obey him. Those who are kind of faking it want God as a genie. I just want you to benefit me, God. I got to obey you. That means I got to understand it. Then I got to apply it. There's a bunch of stuff that I'm used to doing, and I don't want to get rid of it. While he's showing us, he was like, anything we ask because we obey him. What you don't realize also, if I obey him, it adjusts my prayer. It adjusts when I pray, if I pray, how I pray, you know, all that stuff in me obeying him. It says, because we obey his commands, and watch this, and do what pleases him. There are many people right now that are doing a lot of religious stuff. And you'll have churches that will go, amen, isn't this good? And they're doing absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. They made up something to make them feel good about God. Right? That's why in Romans 12, verse 1, it says, in view of God's mercy, I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices. And then he added, holy and pleasing to God. Because if he would have ended it with offer your bodies as living sacrifices, we would have found out different ways to offer our bodies living sacrifices. I'm going to do a dance for you, God, with my body, and that's going to be my sacrifice. I'm going to play sports for you, God, with my body, and that's going to be my sacrifice. We would do that. Humans do it today. We do stuff thinking he's going to, oh, isn't that nice? Remember little drummer boy? He played his drum. I have no gift to bring on playing. All that stuff, that sounds nice. Kids feel good, you know, and how we go into that. But the real truth is, did you do what he says? That's the biggest gift. That means I'm first searching in him, and then I'm applying what he says. But we make this heartfelt stuff instead of God-felt stuff, and our hearts are in the wrong spot. It says, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, and he says again, to first believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. If I believe in his name, that means I'm in acknowledging in what that he was came here in the flesh. New Testament is my complete instruction book. I'm on it. If I don't believe in him, then he's just another one of those religious things that I may apply to my life, but I'm also going to follow Buddha and all these other. You see where I'm going with this? Or, and you see me doing it when I pick and choose out the Bible, when I kind of, well, Paul wrote and Peter said, and when I only choose what I want out of it, right? However, when I believe in his name, that means I'm going to do exactly what he's telling me because he's my Lord. And it says, and to love one another as he commanded us. This way we're loving today is not love. There's a lot of people who are going in for a rude awakening that truly think, man, when I die, I'm going to heaven. They're going to churches that are teaching hate. And they have full access to check and say, wait, is this love? And they're not. And a big reason why they're not doing it, and this is why I said sometimes in our discomfort, we may be jealous, and I'm saying don't be jealous, because a lot of people aren't going to change because they're comfortable. I like what I'm going through, what I have, what I feel. I was watching a show one time, and they said, we live in a small town, and nothing bad ever happens there. And to say statements like that when everybody's evil, they have this false whatever of I'm in some type of euphoria. Do you understand that? And they want to believe that, and they're going to, if I can just keep this little thing, then you die. Right? Go ahead and believe that. You know what I mean? Keep adjusting for your worldly comfort instead of your eternal comfort. He says to love one another as he commanded. Are we doing that? Are we treating everybody equally in that same way? Right? Even when they do wrong, are we dealing with them? I mean, he says he's without sin cast the first stone. So when you hear people say stuff, well, they did wrong. They're sinning. So am I. So should I get the same thing that they're getting? Why am I not getting the same thing that they're getting? And why don't you feel convicted about that? Because you have allowed yourself to say they're doing great sins. This other person meant well. You have courts that are sending criminals out because we allow them to be products of society. And then you have other people who went through struggle stuff like that, and we call them menaces of society. We're not following God. This is man. But the concern isn't what they're doing to society. The concern is what we're doing for God. And right there, the evidence is up. There you go. You answered it, right? He says to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands, here's that evidence again, live in him and he in them. I know I'm a Christian because I'm watching you. And how you dealt with every situation is godly. I can ask you, and you'll go, what his word says. You'll be very clear. You won't give me some fake sounding answer. You'll be able to solidly show me in his word. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. He gave us. So we have that that thing of obeying. And so, like I said, there's a difference. I don't obey him to be righteous because we failed at that. He gave me the ability to be righteous. So did I accept what he gave me? Then you'll see obedience in my life as evidence that I am righteous. Please know that difference, okay? So then we come down to our relationship with Christ. Now, keeping that in mind, because all this, as sound doctrine does, comes together. And the whole know him. Remember, we know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. That knowing him is this correct relationship. Letting him describe what that relationship is. He is not impressed with our man-made relationships. First of all, you must acknowledge Christ to acknowledge God. 1 John 2, 20 through 23. Now, God and Christ are one, but they form to allow the three, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. But he shows in our relationship with them, we have to recognize that. And still also know Jesus and the Holy Spirit are God. So in 1 John 2, 20 through 23, it says, but you have an anointing from the Holy. And when you get that anointing, that's the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, he now provides you for what God made you for. Okay? That's the anointing, okay? From the Holy One. And all of you know the truth. So immediately we do know where the truth is. We know where the Bible is. We still keep trying to find ways to go around it, to listen to conspiracies, read other books. Please be careful. I'm telling you. He says, verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. So right now we're covered that if I read the Bible and I follow it, I'm good. There are going to be people and philosophers and experts that are going to try to challenge that. And that's just what they do. It's a given. They're going to try to do that. We as Christians have access to realize I can get everything out of the Bible. When I stop trying to be well-read and just focused on the Bible is when I really start growing. Okay? When I try to be well-read, it goes to that verse where it says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. You understand? What I thought was holes were just me recognizing, nope, he gave me exactly what he wanted me to know. Leave it at that, all right? And then I can really follow him. So he goes on to say, verse 21, I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know truth and because no lie comes from truth. Verse 22, who is the liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Now, first of all, that eliminates the Jews and every other religion out there. Okay, so they're all the liars. I can't pick one. I can't say the Muslims are the worst and all the rest of these religions. No, no. If I call them bad, everybody better be bad. Y'all with me? All right. And they are. We got to minister to all of them. Now, there's a special part, of course, for the Jews, but they're still part of this liar because they deny Christ. They deny Jesus, who is Christ. Remember, that's not his last name. That means the anointed one. Okay. So it says, such a man is, look at this, the Antichrist. And he's not talking about the Antichrist. It should even say a Antichrist or part of it. But the reason why it's called the, because you're now participating in with the person who is not follower of Christ or ministering Christ. She denies the Father and the Son. So the people that say, I go directly to God, canceled everybody. Because you can't go directly to God. See this? Let me show you how one way it works. So in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is a man. And the head of Christ is God. Now, the most important one, of course, was the head of Christ is God. But that was fulfilled and still is covered. Do you understand that? Then he goes, the head of every man is Christ. Now, you got some men that are very strong worldly leaders, but they've already failed because Christ is not their head. You'll see it in their decision making. You'll see it in how they deal with things because they're not going to Christ. They're just making decisions. So they fail. Or you'll see women either knocking down their head, pushing them out the way, not needing them, becoming a head themselves, thinking, I don't need this man. I'm going directly to God. Well, you just ignored God. You just denied Christ because Christ is the one who said the head of the woman is man. And that doesn't mean every man is the head of every woman. No, no, no. Every woman has to have a head. But still today, that independence kicks in and I'm going straight to the Lord. Are you, or are you saying, wait, wait, the word just said this. Am I really following this? Do you see how we ignore thinking I'm still following Christ? Man is not a tyrant. Man is not supposed to be lording over. Everything that man is doing is relaying it to his family. So that means you're responsible for. But if I just made a bunch of rules and y'all better listen to me and I'm going to, and blah, 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 I'm in trouble. Because Christ's like, but did you do what I told you? Do you understand this? So he denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. So that's a big part of it. It eliminates all of these other groups and these other ones that we that call themselves Christians or following Christ. So it eliminates them. Now, believing in who Jesus is and overcoming the world. Okay, 1 John 5. And the 5 says, everyone who believes, remember, belief is your is you living your faith. It's your faith in action. Okay. So everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So you're going to see me following everything in what Christ said. I won't just have to recite it. I'm going to live it. Okay. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. So it's both cases, right? How I'm treating, and every case is going to follow what each say. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his command. There that is again, right? And remember, even that loving God, that goes in a circle because he says, if you love me, you'll do what I command. But I got to know his word in order to do it. And then I got to do it. All works together. Verse 3, this is love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, remember, I'm coming back to that again of where I can use I'm only man. I can't help it. No, no, no. He says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Now, remember 2 Peter 1 that we're going over now, where it says we now have access to the divine nature, right? That hold that the world has on man, man, the world people should watch us and go, why are they overcoming it? That's what they should say. And when we keep doing the same thing, this is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is Son of God. Not the ones who say they believe Jesus is Son of God. It's going to be only he who does believe Jesus is Son of God. That means I'm going to show it through how I live. Got this? Okay, very important. And we also see believing in Christ is the only way to life. Now, if we don't understand what true life is, a lot of us are molding ourselves to get what people say life is. I mean, for a long time, people tried to live for the American dream. That's not life. You have a lot of people saying, you know, if I get this, get married, have some kids, blah, blah, blah. That's not life, right? If I just have this and I'm at peace and nobody bothers me, that's not life. Right? But they're all distractions that we strive more for than we do for true life. 1 John 5, 9 through 12 says, we accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his son. Okay, his word explains that. We get it. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. So it's automatically placed in us to know Christ. So we have that full access to know Christ unless we don't lean upon the Spirit. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar. So if you see me saying I'm a Christian and I'm doing otherwise or I'm doing partially, then I'm calling God a liar. There's another one of those things where I may never say the words, but my life is showing. When they say you're supposed to be a Christian, now if somebody really knew the word and they watched me and they said you're supposed to be a Christian, we should be ashamed of ourselves, right? We should repent right there and let them know, but we don't. We stick to these things that man has put in place. And it says, because he has not believed the testimony of God who has given about his son. And this is the testimony. Here we go. God has given us eternal life. This life is in his son. So first of all, for a person that says eternal life, you'll stop seeing them live for their interpretation of God or just for their own life. It just won't be. You'll know them. It says, he who has the son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Remember, before Christ, we're walking dead. God provides in order for us to receive. But if I don't receive, I'm still dead. Right? He died for us in order that I may truly have life unless I don't receive. Now, remember, because I may go through a ceremony and somebody may pray over me and I say, you know, wordings and say I'm accepting Christ as my Lord, I'm confessing my mouth Jesus is Lord and believing that God raised him from the dead, all that stuff. And, you know, okay, now I'm saved. But then I go back out there and I'm still living by instinct. I'm still living by feeling. I'm still living by intellect. I'm still living by the culture I'm in. I have not accepted Christ. It's just the reality of it. I don't like reality. Amen. All right, I'm going to stop on this one because we have to have enough for next week. It's too much to finish today, but it's not enough if I go over. So we're going to do this last part. Our hope is in him. Now, here's how hope works. There's a wish. The wish or lean more towards desire. Wishing is, I wouldn't mind having that. I desire that. Hope is something I'm focusing on. And there's a verse in the Bible that tells us there's only one hope, and that's the return of Christ. What we have allowed ourselves is to be distracted, and this is why we depend on politics, we depend on people, we depend on dreams, we depend on plans to fit our hope. And our hopes are very self-centered and selfish. But a Christian's hope is only on Christ, and you'll see it in everything that they do. 1 John 3:2-3. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Now, do you notice what he's saying here? Remember I said we try to fill in the blanks, and many still do this. He's saying we are the children of God, and what we will be has not been known. So we really don't know what that's going to look like when we change. Really don't know that. We don't understand. We know we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. What does that look like? We really don't know that, but does it matter? No, it says what we do know is that when he appears, we shall be like him, whatever that is, because he said it, for we shall see him as he is. It's incredible, isn't it? Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now, we're going to see later how to purify ourselves. You understand that? In fact, I'm going to jump to it, and we'll come back to it when we even do it. Though when you obey his word, you're purifying yourself. You see it in the Gospels. You see it in this verse. True purifying yourself. And that's why it says everyone who has this hope of Jesus returning, us being transformed, being with the Father forever, you understand that? Then I'm purifying myself. What does that mean? I'm in his word. Obey his word. Right? Purifies himself. How? Just as he is pure. If you get a chance, go back and what is it, John 17, where he gives a prayer. I think it's either Luke 17 or John 17. I keep mixing the two up, but something, one of the two Gospels, 17. And you go in and you get to see him praying to the Father. And he purifies himself. And we purify by obeying his word. He says, your word is true. So we all have access just to the Bible. To purify ourselves. And it doesn't just mean me reading it. It means me reading, understanding spiritually in order to apply and then repeat. Like shampoo. You understand that? You got to do the repeat. And you're going to continue to repeat until you die. Okay? And that's why if I don't have this hope and I start making up other stuff, I won't do this. And it says more about me than what I'd like to accept. And that becomes a major problem. Questions? All right, once again, I encourage you, go through this, because this is your evidence. You know, I mean, you won't have to go to somebody and say, hey, am I really a Christian? And allow them to make up something to make you feel good about it. You have the actual evidence of it, right? You have the litmus test to know, am I Christian or am I not? You also see in this, there is no purgatory and that stuff in the middle, that churches created to appease man, but not follow God. And that's why when you look for some of those things where they try to make you, you're a good person, even though you're not a good person, and what that means, not understanding it, we got this word as instruction and guidance to what exactly that is. All right. So no more questions or no questions? All right. Praise God. Let's pray. Dear Most Heavenly, Most Gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for this chance once again to grow in your word. Thank you for the evidence that you provide to us. I know it's so much down here that we're allowing ourselves to be distracted by. We want to get rid of those. Help us to be able to speak to one another and to grow in your word, not in our emotions, not in what we desire. Help us stop being misled by the stuff going on in the world, dear Lord, but to even be more urgent on how we live and the things that we do. Continue to bless those who are struggling. Help us to encourage one another using your word, by your spirit, by your will, and for us not to try to aim for the feeling or the intellect, but to always grow more and more in the spirit. We thank you, dear Lord, for all that you continue to do, all these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name. We say, amen.
Amen.
All right. Love you, family. Have a good night.
You too. Enjoy your evening.
Thank you.